The David Madeira Show on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Welcome back, folks. It is already 7:37. We're halfway through the show, and I haven't even gotten to, oh my goodness, a third of the things on my list, but we're cruising along here, and right now we're joined by one of my and it's Friday, of course, so we're joined by one of my favorite guests, and especially on the topic of immigration. He ranks, in my opinion, right up there with Congressman Lou Barletta on this issue. Bruce Thatcher. Bruce, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Dave. Good to be back.
Folks, Bruce is the author of Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. And frankly, it is, in my opinion, the best explanation of what a rational policy of immigration should look like. It looks at it from the standpoint, and Bruce, this is what I love about your book. You actually care about what happens to America, not what happens to Republicans or Democrats or even a minority, an ethnic minority group.
I do. I think that that's where our focus ought to be, and both in the Congress and among the people. But all we can do, it seems, is talk about political advantage. Nevertheless, this whole problem has to get solved in the political arena. So, out of the struggles for political advantage, I hope that the facts about immigration and a good policy can come out.
All right, well, Bruce, let's break apart this Gang of Eight. And again, it's just a policy statement. It's just a statement of principles. There's no actual legislation to evaluate. But break it down for us and tell us where you think they're in the right direction and what they're missing.
They came out with essentially what they call four pillars for immigration reform. The first two of them have to do with illegal immigration, I think. But the first one at leading the list is create a tough but fair path to citizenship and make that contingent on securing our borders. And that's probably the one that's going to capture close to all of the press attention and the political attention, because here's where the big differences seem to be. I'll come back to that in a moment, but let me mention the others. One is to reform our legal immigration system to better recognize the importance of characteristics that will help build the American economy and strengthen American families. And I think that's the number one key leg that everybody ought to be focusing on. But that won't get talked about very much, I'm afraid, until we actually get to Senate or House. I would hope combined joint committee hearings on immigration. And then creating an effective employment verification system that will prevent identity theft and end the hiring of future unauthorized workers. The law already requires that be done. It's been in the law for a long time. E-Verify is available, and the proposal says let's use it. And establish an improved process for admitting future workers. These are to meet our workforce needs, and most particularly they're talking about temporary workers, which is a program we desperately need. So there's lots of good stuff in these legs, but the details of the program leave a lot of questions.
So I mean, because when I heard you break that down that way, that sounded very much like the conversation we first had about this issue a couple of weeks ago when you laid out the principles of immigration, secure borders, a reasonable policy that is focused on economic values for America, not economic values of immigrants, but economic values for America, an effective system of identifying and tracking people, which, as you pointed out, is already the law, it's just not enforced, and then a process to think about the future in terms of America's workforce needs. It sounds like it could be good.
Everything in here sounds to me like it could be good. The problem comes when you get down to the details. The proposal of a Gang of Eight goes on for four or five pages of details of what they mean and bullet points, and those are good things, and they raise the discussion, but completely within those details, I think that some of the I'm almost going to call it another third rail, not illegal immigration, but rather that first national imperative for immigration is going to become a problem, because now family is the driving force of our immigration policy. Three-quarters of all of our immigrants who come in this country, all of our legal immigrants, come in under the aegis of family. And they don't have to have any economic validation to come in here that way. The illegal immigrants are coming here for economic reasons. But as soon as they get here, as soon as they become citizens, if that is granted to them, then our family structure directed immigration policy is going to allow them to bring in all of their relatives. And so you're not talking about 10 million, you're talking about maybe 20 or 30 million down the road in a generation or so. And I think that that family imperative, where there's no limit, no limit on close relatives, over almost 500,000 immigrants per year come in with no numerical limitation whatsoever, I think that that's the one that has to be addressed first, and I think that that's going to be the toughest and most sensitive thing to deal with.
Bruce, if I understand what you're saying by the way the courts currently handle and under current law, this family process of bringing people in simply because they're related is a major driver now. And if you legalize 11 or 15 or 20 million, whatever the number is, and then you continue with that aspect of current law, we're not really looking at 11 or 15 or 20 million. We could be looking at 40 million.
Down the road, that's absolutely right.
All right, Bruce, you said one of the things that gets short shrift in all of this is the concept of reforming legal immigration for economic value. I don't want to give short shrift to that. So let's watch what happens with Rubio's plan, and we'll continue to talk about the details as they unfold. But let's spend a little time right now talking about this concept of reforming legal immigration for economic value for America, because that's at the heart of, I think, what motivates most of us who are skeptical about reform.
Well, it does. And as I said, the first step on that is managing the number of legal immigrants in accordance with our economic conditions. Almost every country that I studied that has a good successful immigration policy manages the number of entering immigrants, which is to say they move it up and down from year to year depending upon the economic conditions. That's the case in Canada and Australia. That's the case in Singapore. And I think that we should do something like it. We need to put a ceiling, a hard number ceiling on how many immigrants will come in. There was a Gallup survey or poll came out recently that showed throughout the world 500 million people want to come to a different country, and of those 150 million want to come to the United States. We clearly can't take them all in, so why don't we pick and choose the ones that we really want? We need to manage that number. And that's the first step. I think that after each census, we ought to establish an annual ceiling for total immigration, and then provide that the administration can temporarily revise it downward during periods of higher unemployment or until assimilation has progressed satisfactorily. But this idea of having half or more of our total immigration be open immigration is just crazy.
Folks, we're talking to Bruce Thatcher. He is the author of Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work, and he is my nominee for Immigration Czar. Bruce, I had a listener write in who worked here with Thompson. This was a TV picture tube plant up in Dunmore, up in the northeastern Pennsylvania area, that moved to Mexicali, Mexico in 2001. As a result, he worked for them, he had to get a visa. And while he was there, he had to have his visa checked he had to have his visa checked every 6 to 8 weeks, and a company that didn't do that would receive a serious fine, and it was actually enforced. This is what you're talking about, right? A serious immigration policy.
Well, that enforcement aspect, that kind of an enforcement aspect, I think would be one of the biggest keys and the most important things we can do. Past law, this is law from 10 years ago or more, requires that the United States, that the Immigration Department at that time use an integrated entrance-exit database to track aliens in the country. We keep records, very good records, of who comes into this country legally. We also keep records of who leaves the country. Now, the data is there. We're electing to not use that database, and it would seem, I mean, I think any computer designer, programmer could tell you that it's not a big, tough problem to put those two things together so that you know when somebody hasn't left who should. And half of the illegal immigrants in this country came here legally by overstaying their visas. That's a system that I don't see how anybody can argue about putting that into effect and using it.
Well, that's why we don't talk about it, Bruce, because it's not about an effective immigration system. It's about political advantage.
Indeed it is. And I think that if somehow or other we can get to discussing in open forum, in public committee hearings of the Senate, or as I said, hopefully a joint Senate House committee, then some of these things will come to light and they can't be ignored by the press, and maybe the public will become more aware of them.
Well, Bruce, I really appreciate your insight on this, and I hope you'll come back as this thing gets put into actual language and the testimony starts to keep us up to date on what's going on.
Thank you. I'd like to do that.